So we're joined with wellness expert Catherine Kemp Gile, media personality, best-selling and award-winning author, founder of nonprofit Nurture. She has created wellness solutions for tens of thousands of children and adults, and we're going to be talking about her book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. And if you see this book, you will understand why it's so beautiful, all the fruits and veggies, and how bright and colorful and everything that they are. So I'm glad I'm speaking with you, because I'm struggling with an extreme picky eater. My daughter is 2 years old, and we're in the no phase. It's no, no. You know, hey, give this a try. No. So what would your suggestion be for me? Because initially when I first started trying to offer her fruits and veggies, and it's like, no. And then she would pick around it and maybe eat the meat, but not, you know, the fruit or the veggies. And so I got scared that she wasn't getting enough to eat, you know, and I didn't want to. Her doctors were like, well, no, don't keep piling on the stuff that she likes, you know, and she's not trying the fruits and veggies. You got to keep offering it. And I was fearful that if, you know, as a new mom, a first time mom, my fear was, okay, I just need her to eat something.
Absolutely. Well, I am excited. I have a couple of tests that are really simple. I'll keep it to three. 2 years old, it's that magical age, right? It's
toddler
years. And the fact that you're hearing no, no, is totally normal. So don't worry about it. You're on the right track. I have three tips. The first is to not, first of all, just not worry about it.
Okay.
Just diffuse any tension that you might have. So when she says to you no, just don't let it bother you. You know, just kind of let it roll right off your back, and just know that it's totally natural. Because what you want to do is you want to keep this really positive attitude around eating, around the snack table, around the dinner table. So again, that's the first thing, is just to diffuse any tension and keep it positive. The second tip is exposure is so important. So even if she's not eating it, if she's exposed to foods and healthy foods over and over and over, you are winning.
Okay.
And you have to remember that even if she doesn't eat it, the exposure is really important. They say that a child needs to be exposed to a fruit or a vegetable at least 7 to 16 times before they're going to be willing to really embrace it. So,
okay. So don't run from it. Just keep trying.
No, just keep trying. And, you know, here's the thing, is exposure can be done in a number of ways. We always think that, you know, you just have to eat it in order to, you know, to win the battle. But it's not a battle. And exposure can be just smelling something. So if she says, no, I don't want to eat it, say, ooh, do you want to smell it? You know, this smells good to me. Do you want to smell it? Or just seeing it. And so I think that's why the book, and you can show her the book, seeing the vegetables over and over and over, that's really going to start to build up. So just keep at it. And the last tip I would have, so it's, again, it's diffuse any tension, keep it positive is the first. Second is to keep exposing your child. And third is just to be a little playful. One idea for a game you can have is you can start to talk about, because she's learning a lot of language.
Yeah, she is. Her vocabulary is expanding daily.
Yeah, and they're listening to everything you're saying. So you can talk about vegetables in a way to yourself, like, ooh, these are X-ray vision carrots. These are super-powered eggplants, or whatever you want to, some kind of exciting language around the fruits and vegetables. And I think just watching you get excited and use some exciting language, I think will help. So those are just a couple of tips.
One thing I'd also started to do when I noticed that she wouldn't eat her food, but then I'd be eating, and so then she'd be like, come over and snatch stuff off my plate, which was good because it forced me to change my eating habits. You know, because now I'm like, okay, I need to eat healthier because I want my daughter to. And if she's going to be, you know, more curious about my plate. So I started pretending that my plate, like her plate was my plate. And she would come and eat her food, even though it was technically she thought it was mine.
You got it. Intuitively, you know. I mean, mama is the most important person in her world, right? So, you know, everything that you're doing, she's watching, whether you know it or not. Whether you know she's listening, she is. So modeling good behavior and being really careful about, you know, not shunning foods yourself, but instead saying, wow, look at this colorful rainbow on my plate. And then mm-hmm. she's like, what? Rainbow? They love rainbows. And so they're going to want to see what's on your plate. And yeah, eating off your plate, that's the best.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. So I really enjoyed this book. Oh, and I love that. That's your son, right? He helped illustrate the book.
It is so fun because you know what? Okay, so you're in this great stage right now where everything you say is so important because mama is the leader of the whole world. But when kids get older, here's the thing. They start to not want to listen to parents as much. Mm-hmm. They're not wanting to listen to teachers as much when they're kind of in that elementary age and kind of middle school age. So the peer-to-peer, you know, what are other kids saying, that becomes much more important. And so, yes, we thought it was really important to engage another child in creating the book. So it's not just some lady, you know, mm-hmm. some nutrition educator giving some advice to kids, but it's actually another kid
right.
providing advice. And we have seen that that is so powerful in how kids are relating to the book. And he's a superstar now. I'm just sidelined.
But it's cool because now kids can, like you said, it's something that they can relate to. And now he can even be excited, like, you know, fruits and veggies, because he helped illustrate the book. So it's definitely something that even it helps him in his process with, you know, eating and everything.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the more that kids can get involved in spreading positive messages, the better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the opportunity to meet with Michelle Obama, and actually the Healthy Kids Lunchtime Challenge is coming up this weekend. It's very exciting. It's going to be in Washington, D.C. I think Rachel Ray's there.
Nice.
To do live cooking demonstrations. So if anybody wants to Google Healthy Kids Lunchtime Challenge, they can kind of get involved with what Michelle Obama and the Department of Education is doing. But whenever a kid goes to the White House, and my daughter went, what Michelle Obama asks is that they become ambassadors to their local communities, because mm-hmm. it's really the kids that are going to make the change in the next generation. So like you said, it's really fun to engage the kids and make these messages a whole lot more powerful.
Right. What are some current, because I know Michelle Obama, she's been really, really involved with making sure that changing the way kids view food and working on childhood obesity. She's been very vocal about that. You know, it was a time you couldn't turn on the TV and didn't see her dancing with a bunch of children and trying to get them fit and talking about eating habits. What are some current statistics on our nation's health related to healthy eating and veggie consumption?
Oh, and, you know, and I don't want to be depressing, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, we'll switch to some optimistic ideas. But, you know, the probably most alarming one is that 1 out of 3 children born in the year 2000 will develop diabetes.
Mm.
And that is even higher for ethnic and diverse populations, as well as low income. And that's why Nurture started our work working with food pantry clients and working with social service agencies, even working with teen moms and really teaching them how to make healthy baby food and make healthy food for themselves. So the 1 out of 3, I think, is a really memorable statistic. As related to veggie consumption, this just blew my mind. 91% of Americans do not eat the daily requirement of veggies. So that's like almost everybody. So
yeah.
You know, it's something we really need to work on. And I heard recently that 86 million folks in this country are pre-diabetic, and I think it's something like 29 million are diabetic.
So wow.
This is an issue we really need to be focusing on as a community.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. One of your statistics, definitely with the diabetes and especially in minority communities, it made me think of my own situation with my daughter. I relate everything to my life and my child. But how do I... One of the things that I struggle with, because I breastfed Athena for her first year, and then to encourage her to eat, I started... Because Athena never liked baby food. I guess the texture just... She didn't like it. Like, to this day, she doesn't like sauce, like apple sauces. Like, she doesn't, if I blend some fruit and veggies, because the mom group was like, well, maybe if you blend some stuff, children, she doesn't like those types of products. So I would just leave it and, you know, dice it up and, you know, just kind of feed her little bites. But one thing that I struggled with was definitely people who watched her, or family members or friends, who, you know, they'll be sneaking her trying to sneak her soda or trying to sneak her, you know, like donuts. And because I always pack food for a thing, the healthy choices in food. And how do I communicate? How does a parent communicate that? Do you have some tips on how they can communicate that, hey, please just feed her this. Don't give her these sodas or a whole box of cereal or something like that.
That's such an important issue. And believe me, it's something that I've struggled with myself. It's the whole, you know, the grandparents, they mean well. They love the kids so much, aunts and uncles and all that. And just our community, right? You know, all the birthday parties and all that. So, I mean, what I would say is that when it comes to celebrations, and especially things like birthday cakes, I always just let my kids go and just pig out, frankly, because I didn't want, again, to have a high-tension relationship around food, and I didn't want them to ever feel deprived, because in the long term, that will create eating disorders.
Okay.
It will create feelings of deprivation, and we really want to avoid that. And so I would say with special occasions, I mean, if you're eating well 80% of the time, you are great, and you don't have a thing to worry about. But if your child is spending a ton of time with family members and with, you know, and as they start to grow up with the schools and kids, you know, I draw the line when it comes to anything that's a sugary beverage, because really that's the biggest problem when it comes to diabetes, are those sports drinks and soda. So I would really just spread the word to everybody in your circle that, you know, if it's a special occasion, you know, if you're going to a birthday party, you know, totally fine. Don't even mention it. But if it's, you know, something like going out with grandma and the aunts and uncles, you know, soda, it just, you know, doesn't work with our family. It doesn't make us feel good. It,
right.
You know, it rots the teeth. And, you know, there's just so many statistics on it. It's just not part of our, it's not just part of our diet.
Exactly.
And my kids did not grow up on anything but water and milk.
Yeah.
Not even juice.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't feel deprived. They don't, when they see other kids drinking sports drinks and soda, they just kind of think,
yeah,
icky. But when they go to a birthday party, they go to a special occasion, they love their sweet treats, and that's okay.
Yeah, my mom was like that as well. She didn't, especially with soda, no. Like, she would never, she would only give us, like, a little bit of ginger ale if our tummies were, like, unsettled or something. But my mom was a really big, like, no on soda. And because of that, I will have a soda once in a, like, blue moon, but I'm not a big soda drinker. And so I don't even think to buy sodas when I go to the store. So Athena, my daughter, doesn't drink soda. And then, you know, it's been a time where a family member's like, yeah, I wanted to give her some ginger ale or a Sprite or a root beer. I'm like, no, water? Do you have that? Because even now she's in the habit that if she's feeling dehydrated, she'll say water, please. Like, she'll ask for it.
Perfect. And that's another thing Michelle Obama has really been doing, is this big, you know, water campaign. So you are on the right track with, you know, first of all, you're modeling good behavior. A soda every once in a while, not a problem at all. Your daughter's seeing you drinking water, and that's the key.
So,
you know, I think what you're doing is great.
So we have a question from one of our listeners. His name is Dee. He said, are there any tips on how to get kids involved in the kitchen, and what age is a good age to start learning to cook or preparing their own meals?
Oh my gosh, I love that question, because I think the earlier the better. I mean, I think when people realize that kids as young as 2, right? I mean, as soon as you're really steady, right? You know, your daughter probably started walking, what, like around 1?
Oh, Athena, she started at like 10 months.
Oh my, okay.
Oh yeah, she was pretty early.
Probably your back's probably still working, hurting from bending over.
But, you know, yes.
As soon as they're on the move, and then they're steady on their feet, you can put them on a stool and get them at a safe stool and get them at the counter height so they can see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So as early as possible, you want to get the kids involved in the kitchen. It's so important. Kids love anything that seems like, you know, adult, right?
Yeah, true.
They don't really like, they didn't like toys when they were little. They liked, you know, the pots and pans and spoons and anything that was real. So, or as early as possible, make it fun. They can actually do so much more than you think they can.
Yeah.
I bought all little, like, child size, you know, whisks and beaters and bowls and things. And sometimes they would use mine, but sometimes, the utensils, if you get them in smaller sizes, it's a little bit easier for their little fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And just get them involved. They can mix. They can measure. They can mm-hmm. pour. A little caveat, get ready for a mess.
Yeah, right? Always.
Clean up.
As a parent, you know a mess is coming. And I like the suggestion where you said get them little things that fit their hands and stuff, because even when with that, to add to that, it's like, wow, those are mine. You know, they have cooking utensils. It makes them more excited, because when you're getting ready to cook, they'll start pulling out, you know, their utensils and what they can use to help cook. So now it's like it gets them even more excited.
Absolutely. And, you know, my overall recipe for raising a healthy eater is to educate, to inspire, and to give choice. And so another thing you can do is you can really engage your kid in what are we going to have for dinner? Help have them make some choices, because if it's their choice, then they'll be so much more involved.
Yeah.
You can get kids involved with, oh my gosh, they love growing food.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't have a yard, if you just have a patio or a window and a pot, you can have kids grow herbs. Oh, you know, and they can use the little scissors when they're really young. They can go over and they can snip lettuces, which can grow in just a couple of weeks. They can snip all kinds of herbs like parsley, cilantro, oregano, and then it smells really good. You're engaging their senses. It's multi-sensory, and then they're bringing that over and helping you mix it in. So those are just a couple other tips. Start early. Get them, hopefully, their own utensils. Give them choices as far as getting involved in planning the menu. And if you can, grow the food, because it's so fascinating for kids to understand that the food does not come from a store.
Right.
It's from the earth.
Yes. And before, I know we got to wrap up soon, but with your book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow, I love this book. I just keep flipping through these beautiful photos of the food and your son's illustrations. I love it. How is this book a multimedia portal that can provide access to do-it-yourself materials? I know we spoke about that with parents briefly, but what about teachers and schools and other organizations?
Absolutely, and thanks for asking, because it's not just about the book. It's about, you know, building a community. So we've so many free resources on our website that's dedicated to the book. It's called GiveItAGoEatARainbow.com. GiveItAGoEatARainbow.com. You can go on there, and there's videos, there's podcasts, there's a download your own free Blake so your child can color in Blake any ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
you know, long hair, boy, girl, doesn't matter. Any kind of, you know, clothing, it's just totally customizable. You can cut out Blake. You can put it with a healthy meal. Hashtag Blake Eats a Rainbow, and then it becomes part of the whole tag board community. And so there's not just the book, but again, these resources, parent handouts, curricula, lots of learning activities, and again, all free. And we're trying to put up as much as we can in both Spanish and English.
Yeah. What I appreciate about the book is it's not just educational about, you know, the fruits and veggies and what they do for your body, but it also is like a learning tool with the colors and, you know, finding out what it means and naming fruits that match those colors and the little trivia questions, you know, making sure the child is definitely grasping what's being said or shown. So I definitely think it's just educational on multiple levels. I really appreciate this book. Before we have to wrap up, could you tell people how to reach you, where they can contact you, everything?
Absolutely. The book is available on Amazon.com, and it's Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. And you can reach me if you're interested in our nonprofit work. That's at nurtureyourfamily.org. We have the book's website, which is GiveItAGoEatARainbow.com. And then finally, I have a website, Make Wellness Fun, where I put up all kinds of resources, videos, and podcasts just about how to lead a healthier and happier life. And I love to be in touch with listeners.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope to have you on soon. I will keep in touch as my daughter is. We're going to get her to eat more rainbows for sure. Thank you for joining me.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. So I want to thank everyone who joined us today. I definitely want to thank Catherine Kemp Guiley for joining me to discuss her wonderful book, Give It a Go, Eat a Rainbow. Definitely want to thank my interns. They're hard at work in here. Thanks, you guys.
No problem.
No problem.
So you'll hear more from them. They're definitely helping me assist in producing the show. If you want to follow me, you can follow me on Facebook.com. We could keep the conversation going. Facebook.com/intransition12. You can follow me on Twitter at SkyKissed, SkyKissed. And we're always updating our Instagram with funny random posts, SKY_KISS3D. Until next time, I will check you guys later. Be safe out there. Have a safe week. And definitely just, I hope you guys take the heart and think about a lot of things that we discussed today, because, you know, the world is hurting, and I just definitely pray for us all. And just know, if you're believing all lives matter, remember that applies to all lives. Have a good day. You are listening to WERA LP Arlington 96.7 FM.